KJAN Sports.
It is time for Jacob Sports. Good morning, I'm Jim Field. Our sports update is brought to you this morning by Detter Motor Company in downtown Atlantic. Experience the Detter difference. Well, checking some college basketball news. Former Drake center Liam Robbins has made a new college commitment just one day after announcing he would be transferring from Drake. Robbins is committed to Minnesota. The 7-foot, 240-pounder will play for his uncle, Ed Conroy. He's a longtime assistant on Richard Pitino's staff at Minnesota. Robbins, a native of Davenport, averaged over 14 points, 7 rebounds, and nearly 3 block shots in his sophomore season for the Bulldogs as a standout last season in Des Moines. Northwest Missouri State's Ryan Hawkins and Trevor Hudgens have both been named among the 14 finalists for the 2020 Bevo Francis Award. That's for the top small school player in the nation. It's just the second time that two players from the same school have made that finalist list. Hawkins, who is an Atlantic alum, led the Bearcats with just about 23 points and over 7 rebounds, a couple of steals, and almost 1 block per game last season. For Hudgens, he led the nation in 3-point field goal percentage, shooting 53.3% from behind the arc. He also averaged just under 20 points, 6 assists, and about a steal and a half per game last season for Northwest Missouri State. Well, Kentucky guard Ashton Hagans is giving up his last 2 seasons of college eligibility to enter the NBA draft, saying the time is now to pursue his dream of playing professionally. The 6'3" Hagans was named SEC Defensive Player of the Year as a freshman and became one of the country's best point guards this past season. He averaged over 11 points, 6 assists, and nearly 4 rebounds with almost 2 steals per game last season, but he also clashed with coach John Calipari. Hagans argued with forward Nick Richards and coach Calipari and reportedly refused to re-enter in the second half of a home loss to Tennessee. Calipari downplayed that incident afterward. Well, college athletic departments took a major financial hit with the cancellation of the NCAA basketball tournament. The loss of the football season would be catastrophic. Iowa State Athletic Director Jamie Pollard slashed coaches' salaries and bonuses after his department lost $5 million of tournament revenue.
Tim Day, our faculty athletics rep, gave me a great analogy. And he said, what we're facing right now is one of three things. It's either a winter blizzard that we hunker down for the weekend. It's the Farmers' Almanac predicting that we're going to have a really hard winter. Or we're facing the ice age. And I think we've all figured out that this is bigger than a blizzard that we're shut down for the weekend. We're probably in a phase right now that we're in a long, hard winter. But if we can't play football this fall, I mean, it's ice age time.
As the economic driving force, Pollard says they can ill afford the loss of football.
There's nobody in our industry right now that could reasonably forecast a contingency plan for how they would get through not playing any football games.
Pollard says options are already being discussed for football.
Leaders are now starting to model different ways that football could maybe take place this fall. You know, could the season start in October and you only play conference games? Could the season be played in the spring? You know, there's vast modeling ways, and there'll be smarter people than me that'll be trying to figure that out. So 3 weeks from now, a month from now, a lot could have transpired about how the fall may look for football.
Now, while some are focused in on what might happen this fall, others are worried about next spring. Roster management becomes even more crucial for the spring coaches, whose athletes all received an extra year of eligibility last week. The Drake softball team had only 3 seniors on this year's squad, and Coach Rich Calvert does not believe any of them will take advantage of the extra year.
It gets complicated. You know, I have to figure out, okay, I know pretty much what the seniors are going to do. What are the juniors going to do? Are they going to stick around 2 more years? Because they're all on track to graduate again next year. You know, when you kind of work your way down.
Calvert says it becomes more complicated when you look at the younger classes.
You know, next year we're going to be fine just because, and we would have been fine even if we would have had some of the seniors come back. The difficulties become the classes after that because we have some verbal commitments that are juniors in high school right now that were taking the place of our current juniors. Well, they're sticking around another year. Then we get into some financial things that we have to work through.
Calvert says it's an issue all coaches will need to work through.
You know, it's still early in the process as far as, you know, the juniors and the sophomores and the freshmen as far as what they're going to do. But, you know, I'm not alone in this. There's a lot of programs out there that are going to have to figure out what's going to work. And, you know, we got a long ways to go with this yet.
Elsewhere, William Byron has won the third NASCAR virtual race in a series put together after the coronavirus pandemic stopped sports. Byron easily captured the iRacing event Sunday at virtual Bristol Motor Speedway, where NASCAR would have been really racing before the coronavirus pandemic caused the sport to shut down. His victory came after he led the most laps in NASCAR's first two virtual races and had nothing to show for his gaming skills. The most entertaining part of Sunday's event was the drivers' gaming streams, where they argued and complained about one another. Bubba Wallace rage quit the game after an accident, and Daniel Suarez and Kyle Larson were parked after virtually tangling on the track. Major League Soccer's 25th season is on hold indefinitely because of the coronavirus outbreak, but league officials and coaches still hope the league will be able to get in a full season with fans in attendance. The league had set a target date for restarting on May 10th, although that now seems unlikely. Today is the anniversary of the first MLS match. England defender Kyle Walker is facing disciplinary action from English Premier Soccer League team Manchester City after appearing to break lockdown conditions during the coronavirus pandemic. Walker apologized on Sunday after it was widely reported that he held a party involving two sex workers at his home last week, breaking the government's rules on social distancing. The country is in the middle of a three-week lockdown. The team says it will look into Walker's conduct. A Serbian soccer player has been sentenced to 3 months of home detention after flouting a curfew imposed to curb the spread of coronavirus. Striker Alexander Prijevic pleaded guilty at a video link trial in Belgrade on Saturday. Police had arrested him and 19 others for gathering at a hotel lobby bar in Belgrade on Friday and violating the country's 5 p.m. to 5 a.m. lockdown orders. He's the second Serbian soccer player to be caught violating the stay-at-home orders. Those who violate the restrictive measures could face up to 3 years in jail. Australia's triathlon world champion Marinda Carfrae has found virtual reality competitions created to sustain sports amid the coronavirus outbreak have some unexpected hazards. The three-time world Ironman champion was competing against Jocelyn McCauley of the United States, Canada's Angela Naith, and Jenny Seymour of South Africa in the inaugural Ironman VR Pro Challenge women's race when disaster struck. Her husband tripped over the cord of her smart trainer and disconnected it, and that knocked her out of the race. In NFL news, a Pro Football Hall of Famer and record-setting kicker have died. The Hall of Fame says that speedy halfback and receiver Bobby Mitchell has died at age 84. The Hall of Fame hasn't provided other details. Mitchell spent 11 seasons in the NFL. He played halfback for the Browns from 1958 to 61 and was a flanker for Washington from 1962 to 68, becoming the first African-American to sign with the Redskins. Mitchell was a three-time All-NFL selection and played in four Pro Bowls. He ran for 1,462 yards and accumulated over 3,700 total yards over four seasons for a Browns backfield that featured Jim Brown. He immediately became one of the NFL's most dangerous receivers when he arrived in Washington, leading the league with 72 receptions and 1,384 receiving yards in 1962. Mitchell also led the NFL with 1,436 receiving yards in 1963, including a 99-yard touchdown. Mitchell retired with the second most combined offensive yards and was enshrined into the Hall of Fame in 1983. Former NFL kicker Tom Dempsey died late Saturday from what his family described as complications from the coronavirus. He was 73. Dempsey set an NFL record that stood for 43 years when he kicked a 63-yard game-winning field goal for the New Orleans Saints against Detroit on November 8th of 1970. It wasn't until 2013 that Matt Prater of the Broncos broke that record with a 64-yarder in Denver. Dempsey's success came despite being born without toes on his kicking foot. Dempsey kicked for 11 seasons in the NFL with New Orleans, Philadelphia, the LA Rams, Houston Oilers, and Buffalo. His daughter says Dempsey was diagnosed with dementia several years ago and was living in a New Orleans nursing home that was hit hard by the virus. The Orleans Parish Coroner has yet to release an official cause of death. That's Check of Sports this hour, brought to you by Detter Motor Company in downtown Atlantic. Experience the Detter difference. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.